This is Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000.
I hate Mitch Trubisky and Ryan Pace too. It's not even December and the season is through. And hey, there's Matt Nagy. He's gonna call another pass. Did you forget about the run game? Get that bison head out of your ass. Oakland Raiders can't wait now till the next draft is here. Look at a high first round draft pick from your Chicago Bears. Season's over, pitchers are full. Season's over, pitchers are full.
What do you think there?
I give it a thumbs up.
All right, thumbs up on
now,
that one.
Now, I will say this. You know I'm not a big fan of the word hate. I think hate is a little bit strong, especially when you're talking about, you know. So I was a little disappointed to use the word hate.
If you are Simon Cowell, you have to like the word hate.
I do not. I'm not Simon Cowell. But I thought that's the best one we've heard today.
Yes. Okay. Well, Melissa Lenoff, who...
she's mad at me.
She's the one who had the Hanukkah song earlier.
Yeah, maybe you guys can have a holiday.
No, I'm not saying she's mad at you. She did tweet the show, though. And she said, word on the street is that my old Hanukkah parody was played at 2, but I was teaching. She's a sixth grade teacher.
That's cool.
Is it possible to access hour one of your show after the fact so I know that it's real? Bear down. Melissa, I would advise you not. If you like Waddle, I would advise you not to listen.
Listen, I advise you.
I do advise you
to listen. I applaud that you are educating the youth of America. I think that is one of the most honorable professions on the planet. I'm sure you're a wonderful human being. I just personally, in the role of judging the holiday parody song contest in my own voice, suggested that your participation, although it was a tremendous effort, probably registered a 5 on the scale of 1 to 10 meter.
Is that fair? I don't think your review gave her a 5. I think you were
I said thumb sideways.
Okay. All right. That is true. You did say some thumb sideways.
Yeah.
This is someone who's tutoring the youth of America.
She's a sixth grade teacher. As I acknowledged.
She's got her master's in school leadership.
She's smarter than me.
She wants to publish a children's book.
She's a better human being to me.
Yes.
But she's not going to win our contest with the entry that she provided. I'm sorry. She wins life more than me. She's better at life than me. She's not winning the contest.
I love that. You've had some good lines today.
Am I right or am I wrong? Does anyone else want to join the truthful side of this? Or do you all just want to pander to people like my friend Paul Abdul over there?
It's all brought to you by Miller Lite, Enzo Custom Suits, American Sale, Cassidy Tire and Service, Grand and Western Liquors, your Chicagoland Toyota dealers, and the Illinois Lottery. Let's see if you can guess the email address. Where can people, don't look down, where can people send their holiday parody songs to? Try and guess. See if you...
I've only read it
20 times
over
the last 2 weeks.
That's okay. I don't listen to you very often.
It's ESPN Holiday Parody at gmail.com.
Yeah, I got the Gmail part.
You crumpled it up and threw it away, didn't you?
I didn't think I did, but I think I did. I didn't think I did, but I guess I did.
Yeah.
Oh, no, I got it right here. It's ESPN Holiday Parody at gmail.com.
No, no, moment
I mean, listen,
too late,
if I've got it, if I got it right here, why do I need to have it memorized?
I just like to see if you, because the listeners are trying to memorize it. Well, they're trying to memorize it. And if you don't memorize it, maybe we're not giving it enough.
That's not true. All I got to do is read it to them. I'm not participating in the contest. I can't win. So I'm not sending anything to the ESPN Holiday Parody at gmail.com.
Do you want the quote that the Scott Boras gave that I gave you before the break? Scott Boras' quote was, a possible White Sox or Cubs signing. Old St. Nick delivers once a year. Young St. Nick delivers all season.
Obviously, you, as you said at the break, he's talking about Nicholas Castellanos, who is his client.
And who cashed in big time in the last two months of the season playing for the Cubs.
That's the epitome of a gamer. I mean, he was a free agent. He came to Chicago. He gave the... You can argue that the Cubs were only as good as they were in large part because of the contributions of Nick Castellanos.
Right. Where would they have been without Castellanos?
Well, I mean, they were out of the playoffs to begin with, but they would have been further down the list.
Yeah, we'll get more back to the Bears topic. We were talking a lot about quarterback issues and then the workout scheduled for Saturday with Kaepernick. But let's go down to Scottsdale, Arizona. Jesse Rogers is covering the general manager's meetings, and he's brought to you by Dutch and Docs. And yeah, Scott Boras had a long press conference, as Jesse just mentioned. Jesse, give us the thumbnail. What were some of the highlights?
Well, first, I want to thank you for calling me when you did. It got me away because it's 45 minutes and still going as far as I could tell. He is full of a lot of you know what, but he does speak a lot of truths in baseball. I always say that to you guys. Like, I need a shower after listening to him, but he speaks a lot of truths. But the one highlight right off the bat, if you're a baseball fan, he does get a sense already that things aren't going to be as elongated as they were in the past, meaning into February and March for a lot of free agency. And, of course, he holds a lot of those cards.
Is that wishful thinking, Jess, in your evaluation?
No, I mean, maybe, but I don't know why he'd bring it up unless he was getting a feel from ownership. And it's funny how he talks about ownership more than general managers. You know, he deals at the highest level of these teams. And he said he's getting a feel from owners that they want to be a little bit more aggressive this offseason. He didn't quite explain why, but let's just be happy that maybe at the winter meetings we will see trades, we will see signings. He holds so many of the cards, as I mentioned, from Strasburg to Rendon to Ryu to obviously old St. Nick, young St. Nick, I'm sorry. That was a great line. So that was one highlight. And, of course, he lamented the situation that's facing baseball, and that, again, is the tanking teams. And the thing that rings true, and it, you guys know the play, the producers. I mean, it rings so true. In the old days, winning teams made money. Losing teams lost money. These days, losing teams can make money. And until you're ready to win, these teams, these owners just don't care enough. And so they're not going to add, you know, pick a player, Nicholas Castellanos, because they're only going to win 78 games. And why pay that? I mean, they're going to make money, and they're not, you know, they're going to make money either way, whether they win 78 or 72. So that's his problem with baseball. And I can't disagree with it. And to bring it, you know, sort of full circle locally with the Cubs. I mean, think about the Cubs in a different world. They might be training Chris Bryant or Wilson Contreras or whoever, but then why wouldn't they replace them with Anthony Rendon? And the players they got for Bryant would be major, you know, AAA guys that might be ready in a year.
Yeah.
But we are living in this reality that, no, the Cubs can't go over the tax now. They're going to go through a second offseason without signing big names, more than likely. And this is just the way it is. And last point, it reminds me of the Blackhawks. It really does. Everything about the Cubs and the Blackhawks, you know, are similar, even down to the fact that the Blackhawks, after that first championship, you know, they had all this talent for not a lot of money on that team. But then at that moment, it was going to explode their salaries, and they had to break up that team. It's the same thing here with the Cubs. 2 years out from free agency, these salaries are about to explode. They have to break up this team. Now, some of it they need to because it's not as good. But they don't. But the Hawks had a salary cap. The Cubs don't. Baseball doesn't. But we live in this reality that they do because of the tax or because of a artificial budget ownership sets, and that's just frustrating. But that's where we're at with the Cubs. Instead of retooling right away, they have to take a year or two to retool.
Did he talk at all about Chris Bryant and everything, whether it's a possible trade this offseason, whether it's the grievance that's going on currently?
Yeah, I'm a little annoyed with these guys with the grievance. I mean, here's something that's very interesting and important, and nobody wants to talk about it at any level. I mean, I yesterday, just to pivot for a second, the other day, I think it was yesterday, I said to Theo, because he's like, no, it's between the union and the league. You know, they're trying to put it above the people involved. And I said, but Theo, they are accusing you of cheating. Don't you have some comment to that? They're accusing you of manipulating his service time for the benefit of your team. He goes, no, I just think that, you know, he's a great player and they're using him to fight this battle, because it's almost you can't give a reason why he should have been down. You know, there's no legit reason. That's why, you know, Theo had to go to the grievance and try to make up some reasons. But I don't know why no one's willing to talk about it. Even Boris, who is sort of, you know, obviously pushing this, but they leave it in the union's hands and the baseball's hands, and they're really not commenting on that. And as far as the trade, pretty much saying I'm not commenting on what clubs do or don't do, but a 900 OPS player year in and year out should be very attractive to every team, including the one he's on.
What about the one that he's on and a possible extension?
I didn't really get too much into that. Always talking with clubs, always talking with Theo. It's so hard to really get some meat on the bone when he talks, other than the big picture game stuff. But in talks with Theo about several things. I'm sure Bryant's one of them. I'm sure Nicholas Castellano is another one. In the last 3 days, I've had one conversation about the Cubs in free agency. They're a non-factor already. I'm talking about the big names, Gerrit Cole, Steven Strasburg. I mean, do they re-sign Steve Cishek? I don't know, maybe. But are they going to be players? No, and they weren't players last year. So that part, it's amazing how little talk with the Cubs in free agency there is, where other GMs are already talking about the Cubs, and they're not given specifics, but the Cubs in the trade market and how they're talking to the Cubs. And, you know, A.J. Preller told me yesterday how attractive those players are. That would be a really good fit. They have a great farm system. The Braves are a great fit. Think about them. Josh Donaldson's gone. Chris Bryant to the Braves for two stud pitchers. There's so many good matches. When you look at the individuals on the Cubs, it reminds me of the White Sox a couple years. When they sold, they actually had, you know, Chris Sale and Todd Frazier, and they were good players.
And
it wasn't coming to... Yeah, and it wasn't coming together. It's the same thing. The Cubs have good players, but it's failed to come together over these last couple of years. So I think the marketplace is licking their chops over the fact that the Cubs have stated publicly they're going to trade.
What do you think, just in general terms, Jess, when you hear, like, that Gerrit Cole, the number that they're looking for, it's got to be a 300-plus number for a contract. Do you believe there's anybody in Major League Baseball that is going to dip their toe in the $300 million contract pool?
No, I don't, because they won't compare it to Harper. They got to compare it to other pitching. And what is it David Price has the highest?
Yeah. 217.
No, yeah, 217. He probably beats that, but I don't think anybody needs to go from 217 to 300, not for a pitcher who in 6 months could have arm problems. You know, that's just still a little bit riskier of an investment. But he's, you know, Boris, he's going to beat the 217, and he probably deserves it. It's just the way it is. Will he be worth it in 6-7 years? I mean, that's a roll of the dice, of course. And everyone's expecting the Angels to be a huge player in that. Somehow, some way, everyone's expecting him to stay out west stay with Houston or out west.
Jesse Rogers joining us from the general manager's meetings. Before we get into the sign stealing and the Astros, I had a couple more local questions. Do you have, and I know Rick Hahn spoke yesterday when I was gone, but do you have a hint at all about which of these big names they are really in on?
Yeah, not a great hint. I don't think it's the Gerrit Coles of the world. I think there are plenty of second-tier guys. I mean, I've not heard this name, but like Madison Baumgartner. You know, that doesn't put you over the top. You know, 3-4 years ago would have with him. He's not a true number one anymore. But that's a guy that's their version of John Lester a little bit. Now, maybe Lester was better than Baumgartner is now. You know what I mean? But I think they are in at that level. They might dip their toes into Ryu or someone else or Strasburg, but I think they're going to get rebuffed at the end of the day, whether it be too much money or those guys want to go where they want to go. I do think they're in on second tier. Zach Wheeler, Madison Baumgartner, it's the same old story I said to you, Waddle, yesterday. Everyone's saying they need their John Lester. But when they get that guy, it doesn't have to be Gerrit Cole. It could be Madison Baumgartner. And I think that makes those kind of players make a lot of sense. It pushes them a little bit further. It doesn't get them there, but it pushes them in the right direction.
And then what about Contreras? He changed his picture on Twitter to an All-Star uniform rather than a Cubs uniform. Is there a little game going on here?
I talked to his agents. You know, he's an emotional guy, and there's no doubt in my mind, Theo the other day, when he was trying to ramp down the speculation, had Contreras in mind. He mentioned an example of, you know, he hates the fact when a wife wakes up, sees his name on social media. He didn't mention Contreras by name, but I pictured that exactly happening. You know, that Contreras or his wife or a family member, you know, got all nervous about things. He's an emotional guy. And so, yes, I think all that is in play. I told you guys right at the end of the year, before it got a little bit more of a fad, that him and Brian are my would be my top two choices. I just think there's some warts that the Cubs know about with Contreras that other teams may overlook because other teams just see the bat, the right-handed power, and of course you can get a lot for him. He's 3 years away from free agent. So yes, I think that's all in play, and this is a guy it's on his mind wherever he is.
All right, so what's everybody saying about this Astros sign-stealing story?
Well, they think it's going to blow up. They think it's going to be a big deal, and maybe this is the tipping point for a true reckoning when it comes to sign-stealing. Talk to Theo about it. He was adamant, we don't sign-steal, because think about them. They were great at home, bad on the road. Because remember, when you're sign-stealing electronically, it's much easier to do at home. You can control the cameras, all these things. I've always heard rumors about the Brewers, even Yelich. Yeah. You know, all the success they have at Miller Park, not as good on the road, but you can include the Cubs last year in that. Now, Theo did say, we asked him if he ever suspected. He's like, of course, there's little moments. He goes, I do remember. He didn't say what series. He said, absolutely, a playoff series against, you know, the Cubs, against his team, where they thought they were hearing some strange sounds coming from the other dugout, you know, some of the banging and stuff. And I tried to figure out, you know, it doesn't have to be a playoff series they lost, right? I mean, it could just be any one of them. And I don't know if it was 3 years ago, 2 years ago, whatever. But so there have been moments where he has thought of it. And Rick Hahn said there's always teams contacting the league, but quietly under the radar. And then finally here you have a player going public, Mike Fiers. And so they all think, a lot of the GMs think it's going to blow up, but you know they're a little quiet right now in terms of talking on the record.
I'm gonna predict that it was the Cardinals series of 2015. How about that for a team that has cheated before and under Mike Matheny?
Let's go with that. And by the way, okay, so the Athletic story about this, I mean, has this leaked? Because I don't mind leaking it. You may remember, if you read the story, there was a specific player struggling in Houston, and he started down that road of for the sign stealing. If you read, I don't know if the name's leaked, but I heard it was Carlos Beltran, who's now the manager of the Mets. So, I mean, you know, keep an eye on them. But I think it's pretty rampant. But it's almost like the Patriots. When you win, the focus a little bit more on you. And the Patriots get caught on stuff, doesn't mean other teams aren't doing it. The Astros now are getting caught on stuff, doesn't mean other teams aren't doing it. But it does sound like, in terms of what Fire said, this was at a level he hadn't seen before. You know, the camera right on the catcher and the coding, you know, sending the signal to the hitter and all that stuff. So it's going to get interesting here. And I think the investigation is going to reveal a lot.
All right, Jesse, anything else?
Well, I think the trade market is absolutely going to heat up between now and the winter meetings for the Cubs. So I'll make that prediction. By the end of the winter meetings, we've got one of those major trades in the book. So hopefully it's not one of those January, February thing with the Cubs. But it's real interesting. I've talked to some agents. Baez's agent, you know, there's a dual path here. You have to talk about extensions with some guys. And if the requests are way out of line, those guys might go to the front of the line in terms of the trade market. So it's starting now. I don't have one rumor for you, but it's going to start really moving as they leave here and then leading up to the winter meetings.
When are the winter meetings?
December 8th through the 12th.
So that's right around the corner. Yeah, that's the next 3 weeks here.
Yeah, it moves quick. Right. So think about 3 weeks of calls and hammering out trade possibilities. Then they finalize something. I mean, and let's not understate it. I mean, a trade of Chris Bryant, even Wilson Contreras, those are big moves. You don't see that often. I'm not saying it's trading Mike Trout, but it's one tier below that. And so this is going to be a big headline-making news, whoever they trade. And I don't want to keep harping on those two. It really seriously could be anybody, because maybe Bryant comes to his, you know, senses, Boris does, and says, okay, $100 million for 4 years, I'll take it. Well, all of a sudden, someone else might be on the market instead.
All right, Jess, good stuff.
Thanks, Jess.
Okay, guys, I'll see you when I get back.
There you go. I'm glad he said that, and that Scott Boris is the one who said the things will speed up a little bit. And there's no guarantee, but I have enjoyed reading some of these rumors. There are so many great players who are available, and I think it's so bad for the sport. We've talked about it, where you get juiced up and amped up for Strasburg and Rendon and Gerrit Cole and all these guys to sign, or all these big trades, and then you're waiting, and then December passes and January passes, and you still have no clue who's on your team or who's going to be where.
I hope the action occurs sooner, but with no disrespect meant to Scott Boras, I'm not taking what he is saying as gospel. I mean, a lot of what he is saying and for good reason, is, I think, trying to create all kinds of whatever for his clients. Maybe it will be a slow process again this year.
But hasn't he been the reason why it's been a slow process?
Maybe so. But like when he's telling you, hey, it's all heating up. I got all these guys. Everybody wants them. Let's go. Let's start. I mean, you
he's
know,
trying
he
to
could
create
be,
a frenzy.
Yeah, he could be pumping his own tires. I mean, ultimately, they got to call him because he's got all the good players.
But hopefully there are more teams like the White Sox who are now going from the transition of a rebuild to being buyers and win now. Do you know what I mean? Like,
and I hope that's the case with the White Sox.
Right. And like, and then now all of a sudden you have these new teams who haven't been involved in buying that are now interested in buying with some of the, you know, usual teams who will buy as well.
I will be very interested to see what the economics say about all of these teams. Does everyone become a buyer, or do they continue to kind of save their money and make excuses?
Yeah.
Do you have the Xfinity Stream app?
Love it. Watched it yesterday.
Oh, you did? Good. For those of you who don't, it's definitely something you need. Xfinity gives you the most free TV shows and movies on the go with the Xfinity Stream app, which is included with any Xfinity TV service. It allows you to take your entire TV lineup, live sports, Xfinity on-demand movies and shows, and even your DVR library with you. So let's say you're traveling on your own, or you're on your lunch break, or you have some spare time, and you just go ahead and you open your Xfinity Stream app on your phone or your iPad, and now you can access all of your DVR stuff and watch all those shows you haven't had time for. Maybe it's a live game that you don't want to miss that you access. It's really very easy. The Stream app is one of the many reasons you need to make the change to Xfinity. Get started today. Call 1-800-XFINITY, visit Xfinity.com, or drop into an Xfinity store today for more details.
Do you remember you used to brag to me about how you had a TV in your bathroom and it was one of the coolest things you ever had?
I could lay in my bathtub and watch television while I'm laying in my bathtub.
That's what I used the Stream app for. The other night, like Monday Night Football was on. So I'm getting ready for bed. I'm tired, but I don't want to miss a thing on the Monday night game. So at the end of the third quarter, went upstairs to the bathroom, took care of some business, and I had my phone right in front of me with the Stream app open, watching Seattle, San Francisco. It was like I had a TV in my bathroom.
Just make sure if you're taking care of business, your phone's got a camera and it's always on. So just make sure that there's not somebody on the other side.
Oh, I hope not.
Just saying.
Who's on the other side?
Who's not on the other side, really? Right, Abdallah?
Absolutely. Always watching.
He's our tech guy here on the show.
Cover your cameras.
Even when I'm watching something?
I would always cover your cameras.
Why would your camera not be...
Did you not see the story yesterday about Facebook having access to your cameras?
Who's watching me when I'm doing that?
Anybody who wants to watch, man.
It's not a matter of they choose the moments when they want to watch you and the activities that you're participating
in. Trying to watch Monday Night Football, Russell Westbrook, Jimmy G. You know, a bunch of kickers trying to make kicks.
Compiling a database so that they have video of you basically whenever they want.
Yeah.
Now you ruined it for me. All right, coming up next, how about a new star in the city of Chicago doing something that no rookie has ever done before? You'll hear that coming up next. Will Bond at 5, Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000.
This is Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000.
Here's Kobe.
We need to bring Roy Williams here more often.
Yeah, absolutely.
Walking the baseline, Dunn finds Kobe again.
Oh, he's got 99 problems, but scores that one, Neil Funk.
Six, Kobe, fake. Kobe, step back. Oh, is it?
Stopping.
Oh, I mean, that was like shot out of a catapult.
There you go, Neil and Stacy, NBC Sports Chicago. With a call, I like that from Stacy. 99 problems with scoring's not one. 120-102, the Bulls beat the Knicks. They improved to 4-7. Kobe White scored 27. He became the first rookie in NBA history to ever hit 7 three-pointers in a quarter. It was all in the fourth quarter. It was money time, money on the table time. He's a streaky player. It's another reason why I continue to say that it doesn't matter to me, and Jim Boylan's done this a few times, that he says, well, it's Kobe's struggling tonight. I got to bench him down the stretch 5 minutes, and the Bulls have no one who could shoot in and no one who could score it. They look for someone, but you got this kid here who could create his own shot, whether it's a step back three, go to the hoop. He also can dish it a little bit. And let the kid grow. Let him miss some shots because he's going to. And you end up in the win column yesterday.
I do like the fact that he's getting, I mean, like Zach LaVine's getting the most minutes at 32. But Kobe's like, you know, he's getting 24. I'd like to see him get even more.
Right.
But, I mean, I'm glad that it feels like maybe they're going to give him more run. Maybe I'm wrong.
Yeah, they should absolutely give him more run. And it's a perfect – what did he have coming into the fourth quarter yesterday? 3 points?
I think so.
Something like that?
I mean, he was on fire in the fourth.
And then he just turned his game completely upside down. And if you would have gone by your philosophy and said, well, I don't want to make sure – that he struggles here down the stretch. We got to protect him. But
yeah, he, like the whole team, I mean, they have struggled to shoot the basketball collectively, but he was hotter than a depot stove, as they used to say in Bulls games.
It's the Knicks, and they're this Fizdale stuff is weird. I think he could coach. I think the Knicks are just a complete dysfunctional team. But a couple of steps here by the Bulls lately, and maybe now with some home games, they can start winning some of these games and become enjoyable to watch again.
Yes. Well, let's start with winning the games you're supposed to win, and that's the one that we saw last night. You're not, I mean, we would have probably been pounding our fists on the table, the console here,
had they lost to
the Knicks a second time. We'll see. They get the Bucks tomorrow in Milwaukee.
Ooh, that's a good test.
Then you get the Knicks on Saturday, and then you get Milwaukee at home.
How many times are they going to play the Knicks in the first month of the season?
I'm sorry, the Nets. Did I say the Knicks? Nets at home on Saturday.
I would not put it past the NBA if they would have done it 3 times in the first month against the Knicks.
So far you've played Charlotte, Memphis, Toronto, New York, Cleveland, Detroit, Indiana, Los Angeles, Atlanta, Houston, New York. You're 4-7. My hope would have been that you were 7-4.
Right,
but
yeah.
That's, you know.
Did you really think they'd be 7-4?
No, but you should have won more of those games. Like, if you told me, hey, guess what? You're not going to win against Los Angeles. But, you know, you even caught a break at Indiana when I think the Pacers were without 3 of their starters.
Sure. Or you should have beat the Knicks the first time.
Right.
You could have beat Charlotte if you close. Yeah, I mean, look, they could have won some of those games.
So baby steps. You've won 2 out of 3, and the 1 loss over the last 3 games is against Houston.
I'm still not a fan of the coach.
I'm still not warming to him yet either. But the post game press conferences are must see television.
He's so just different. He's so different. He started his press conference yesterday, at least the part they showed on NBC Sports Chicago. So what was it, tied going into the fourth quarter? He started the press conference. Here's Kobe White, who had this unbelievable fourth quarter, set a rookie record for the most threes. And Boylan went to the post game, and he said to everybody, he goes, between the third and the fourth quarter, I told our guys, I looked at them, and I wanted to make sure that we wouldn't repeat the same mistakes that we've been making the last few games. Almost shaping it like that it was his little speech that made them surge in the fourth quarter.
What made them surge is their young rookie quarterback got very hot.
Yeah,
and made shots.
One good quarterback from North Carolina.
Yes.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah.
He's the only one.
Yeah, exactly.
As
somebody said, maybe you get, what was Larry Fedora was Mitch's coach?
Yeah.
Maybe Larry Fedora needs to come to
town. There's a difference, though, didn't Weider have a line in his article where an NBA, an NFL executive said, it's not like you're drafting the point guard from North Carolina. You're drafting the quarterback from North Carolina.
Well,
wasn't that the point that someone made in Weider's article?
I think so. Yeah.
Like Larry Fedora, North Carolina football, Roy Williams, one of the all-time greats, North Carolina basketball.
Hey, listen, whatever gives your team a spark and your guy a spark.
So I read that yesterday. I was out. Yesterday, we had some family stuff going on, and so I still had time to go through social media, and I found out that the Weider post dropped. I think Abdallah tweeted about it early, or some listeners may have even tweeted it to me before then, because Weider teased that on our show, and he said, guys, in the next week, I've been working on something big, because remember, he sounded tired, he sounded beaten.
Yeah,
he says, something big's going to drop. We're like, ooh, what is this going to be? And then how many chapters did he have, 12 in there?
It was a very detailed presentation by him and Rich Campbell. It was very good.
Very good.
So he wrote it, and so I sat down. I got some time, and I knew I wasn't going to love it. But to tell you the truth, there was a lot of the stuff in the X. I thought one thing that I thought was great. There were many things that were great about the piece. One thing that I thought was very great is it was unbiased. It gave you the facts,
right,
and you could judge it yourself.
They were quick to tell you that, listen, Mitch was at the top of a lot of draft experts' charts.
And so that's who they summed up first.
Right.
Here's what went on in the scouting of Mitch Trubisky. And there were some things you knew and things you didn't know. And there were some things that made it seem okay. Drafting Mitch wasn't that, it wasn't a big reach, blah, 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 blah. But then the faults in the process that were highlighted from the Deshaun Watson stuff. And I've always said to you guys this, that I've always said it's one thing to miss on Watson, okay? A lot of people said Watson's not even a first-round pick. There's too much stuff that needs to be tamed. It's one thing if you miss on Mahomes. There's too many things from Texas Tech that needs to be tamed. His decision-making, what he's going to be, we're not sure. So if you miss on him, fine. But if you miss on the guy who's played 3 years of great football,
yes,
and beat Alabama once for the national championship, and in the two games against Alabama, threw for 400 yards in both of those games, and did it on the grandest stage, and you reach for the guy who's played 13 games and couldn't beat out who?
I don't know his name.
Williams.
Marquise Williams?
Yes, that's it.
Marquise Williams.
He didn't play in the NFL.
He's in the XFL now. The one thing the piece brought up was the fault in the process of the Deshaun Watson homework. That for whatever reason, that Ryan Pace's head coach had Deshaun Watson rated number one. And before you yell at me through the radio, that's not it. Because you may have said, well, Sylvie, Ryan Pace never wanted John Fox as his head coach. That was an arranged marriage when he first got the job. Ryan Pace's quarterback's coach, who, by the way, is still in the building, they thought so highly of that they kept through the coaching change. Dave Ragone had his number one quarterback ranked Deshaun Watson. Now, fine. If you want to go rogue, go rogue. You don't have to listen to your quarterback's coach or your head coach, but do your homework. Yes. The only thing I'm saying is if your head coach says, and you ask him, rank the quarterbacks for me. And if you go to your quarterback's coach, the guy who's going to spend every single day in the film room with your quarterback, tutoring him on mechanics and everything, and you're going to get their input on who they rank number one, and they tell you Watson's number one, and then you don't think it's reasonable to get a private workout with Deshaun Watson like you did with Mahomes and with Trubisky, and you don't deem it rational to get a sit-down dinner with.
But the other guy's dreamy.
The other guy reminded him too much of himself. We put that together. Trent Dilfer helped us with that, didn't he? He saw himself
indirectly
in the mirror.
Yeah. I still don't know what it was about Deshaun Watson that led them not to use the same process with him that they used with Mitch,
right,
and with
do the work and whatever. Like, you make the decision, you make the decision. Just be right. And if you're not right, don't have a fault in your process. And now, not only can you not, you can't yell at me anymore, Sylvie, it's hindsight. Hindsight is 2020. Bull that it's hindsight, because he didn't do the work to begin with. He didn't want to look. He didn't want to have a dissenting voice. He didn't want to be challenged on who he thought and what the reasons were. That's the reason why you get everyone in the building's opinion, is just in case maybe you're off base. You've got to do all the work. You've got to get the private workout from Watson. You've got to sit down in the building and talk to Watson, just like Mitch won you over with making the damn reservation under James McMahon. How do you know that Deshaun Watson would not have swayed you in a private dinner or a private workout?
He may have taken you to a different restaurant under the name of Sid Luckman.
Oh, what? Can you imagine that?
Then I'm which way saying. Would Ryan Pace have gone?
Sid who? That's what Ryan maybe said. This is what I supposed as well. Like, when you go back, because I'm trying to figure out why in 2017, Mahomes, who had, you know, I mean, out of the world stats, and Deshaun Watson had just gotten done carving up a professional caliber defense in Alabama for the second time. And I made this statement, and I'm interested in your opinion on it. And it seems like it was yesterday. It's 2017. But in 2017, I still believe the league and all of the people in the NFL universe that are grading here and grading there, they had yet to evolve into thinking more generally that those offenses and the players that excelled in those offenses could actually succeed at the NFL level.
Right.
Now, 3 years later, short 3 years later, I mean, not only have we seen Watson's game translate and Patrick Mahomes' game translate, but everyone in the NFL universe has now opened their mind, because Kyler Murray played 1 year for Oklahoma. He was the first pick of the draft in this offense. Do you know what I'm saying?
Oh, absolutely.
So I think, so when you ask yourself,
Lamar Jackson, now you cater to what he does. You cater to what what Kyler Murray does. Right. You cater to what Mahomes
does.
So
when you say to yourself, well, back in 2017, I mean, Mitch was at the top of everyone's list. Maybe we were still caught in the old way of thinking about how quarterbacks in those other type of more, you know, strange looking, for a lack of a better term, offense is how they would translate at the NFL
level.
But
Watson was a pocket passer, and I know you're saying Mahomes. Watson, so why didn't he want Watson? Why didn't he investigate Watson?
Watson was still running and still doing. Watson had a 1,200-yard rushing season.
So I don't understand, like, if your head coach and your quarterback's coach has him ranked number one, and then you're like, eh, I don't need to work him out privately. Why not? What else he got to do? You got to work out Adam Shaheen privately, you know, but so you could bust not only on the first round pick, then you could bust on the second round pick.
That's why I said to Meller and to Adam and to Fred yesterday, my biggest takeaway was I left with a question. What was it about Watson that led you to stop pursuing the investigation or the research on him? Other than maybe we were concerned about his health or his injury history or something else.
I think the biggest concern for me coming out of that article, Sylvie, a lot of what you laid out, the process or the lack thereof.
Right.
And it's not that, look, GMs across every sport, but particularly in football, you're going to be wrong a lot.
Right.
The problem with Ryan Pace is it's not so much that he's wrong. It's that he doesn't understand that even the best GMs get things wrong. He's so convinced that he is right about the guys he's scouting and evaluating that he's willing to give up future draft picks for those guys.
So you better be right.
And that's the problem, is it doesn't matter. Bill Belichick, time and time again, 50%, if you're lucky, is a good hit rate in the NFL.
Real quick.
You don't want to be giving away draft picks for guys you think are going to be great.
Real quick, in 2015 as a sophomore, Deshaun Watson threw for 4,109 yards and 35 touchdowns and rushed for 1,105 yards and 12 touchdowns.
Then you didn't want to privately work them out. One quick story. Jerry Krause, say what you want about him, but before he drafted Elton Brand, I've told you this story before, the night before, I believe it was the Elton Brand draft, the night before, two nights before, he secretly worked out Lamar Odom again because he still wanted to see him. You can't go wrong with working these guys out privately. You're not wasting time. So dumb. Wife or radio partner coming up next. Caller 20 gets to play 312-332-3776.
Guys, you've heard me talk about avoiding those off-the-rack suits and the headaches of all the countless alterations. Why are you going to waste your time and your money on something that doesn't fit you? As I've suggested, don't be Mr. Parachute Pants in the corner looking like a goober. Take my advice. Go to experience yourself the true custom that Enzo Custom provides. Enzo makes beautiful fitting suits for your specific shape and size. Expert tailors are going to take you through the process. It takes like 20 minutes. They're going to take like 30 or more measurements. They're going to listen to you so you get the fit and the style that you want, all right? They have thousands of fabrics you can choose from. The reps will take you, as I said, through this process very easily. It's actually a very enjoyable process. And then the fit, the color, and the style of what I got from them, my Enzo custom suit, perfect. Everyone that has seen it has loved it. Super quick, straightforward. Custom suits start at just $495. The shirts are $95. Trust me on Enzo Custom. Schedule a free consultation online today. Very simple. Tell them your good friends Waddle and Sylvie sent you. You're going to get $50 off your first custom order. That's EnzoCustom.com.
You will absolutely love them. Make your appointment today. All right, coming up next, wife or radio partner, my clues, who said it, Waddle or my wife? 332-3776. Caller 20 plays next. And then we talk to Wilbon on ESPN 1000.
It's now time for my wife or my radio partner.
My wife. Nah, see that? Always smiling. Hi, honey. Judging, watching. Look at the baby. Look at the baby.
My wife.
Does this make me look fat? Did you take out the trash?
Or my radio partner.
I look at myself in the mirror and I can't stand what I'm seeing.
It's a little cool today, isn't it? It's a little cool today for golf, isn't it?
My wife or my radio partner.
With Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000.
Every Wednesday, 4 o'clock hour, my wife or radio partner. An oldie but a goodie, and you know what is not an oldie but a greatie.
What's that?
If that makes sense. Swift & Sons, American Steakhouse in the West Loop. Not brand new anymore. It's been around for the last few years, but
West
it
Loop
is
area
awesome.
Is fantastic.
From the Boca Restaurant Group, they're going to give you a great steak. They've got seafood. They've got unbelievable appetizers and sides right near the United Center in that neighborhood. Waddle was talking about the West Loop's Fulton Market District. Whether you're going to a Bulls or Blackhawks game, go there before and or after the game.
Get your steak on.
Get your steak on. And it is beautiful inside there. You're going to love it. Boca Restaurant Group named the restaurant tours of the year. All right, three statements you made. Is it my wife or my radio partner, Tom Waddle? Joe gets to play in Munster. Hello, Joe.
Joey. Hello, guys. How are you?
Oh, delightful.
Good. Have you
How
been to
you?
Swift & Sons?
Yes.
Oh, you love it, right?
Absolutely.
You'll go again if you win here. You need two out of three. If my wife made the statement, this is what you're going to hear.
This old man,
there you go. Did I mix it up on you, Mellor?
That was my bad.
And then if my radio partner made the statement, this is what you're going to hear. Who's the hot dog guy?
It's the one.
Since that White Sox game. All right, here we go, Joe. Statement number one. This guy doesn't know what he's talking about. Nobody should feel badly for Mitch. If there's anyone we need to feel badly for, it's Khalil Mack.
Your wife.
This old man.
That's true. Very good. We were talking one day and someone was calling in saying they felt badly for Mitch.
Yeah.
She felt the need to text me and tell me, no, we feel bad for Khalil Mack.
But then on Wednesday, he picks up a check that's bigger than, you know, a truck.
It's true, too. Yeah. Right. But
that makes him feel better.
Yeah. Yeah. Should. Good. Good detection there, Joe. You need one more out of the next two to go to Swift & Sons.
Good job, Joe. Good start, man. Good start.
Statement number two. The Lions are crap in a box. The Lions are crap in a box.
That is your radio partner.
Hot diggity dog, it's not only are they crap in a box, they're crap in a box that's lit on fire, that's placed in a dumpster, that's got a grease fire going on
Ooh.
In it.
Wow.
Yeah.
All right, very good. You're going to Swift & Sons.
Yeah, way to go, Joe.
Want to go for the sweep here? Go three for three, a little hat trick action.
Excuse me?
Let's do it.
All right, statement number three. We can track each other for safety's sake. We can track each other for safety's sake.
Your wife.
This
hot dog, jeez, Mallory, what's going on there? Have you not been able to put your fantasy soccer lineup together? Is that what's going on in there?
No, there's no.
No, I said that. Everyone. I have seven devices on my
account.
On my account, and everyone can track each other for safety reasons. I've got one in New York, one downtown Chicago, one in Nashville, and three of us in the northern suburbs.
Waddle was worried that his wife was going to miss an upcoming flight, and then during a break, he tracked her on her phone. And I go, oh, he looks at me and goes, oh, she made it. And I go, how do you know that?
She was in the, at the gate at General Mitchell Airport in Milwaukee. I could see because I can track her.
That's what you
and
said.
And she could track me.
Yeah, that's awesome. Joe, congrats. Enjoy Swift & Sons,
good job,
okay?
Joe.
Thank you, guys.
There you go. No satisfied customer.
Oh, yeah.
You're going to love Swift & Sons as well. You're going to love Wilbon. He's can't miss radio, and he's angry at the Bulls. We'll get to that coming up. And his thoughts on the whole Bears process and how they picked Mitch Trubisky over Watson and Mahomes as well. And Kaepernick. It's Waddle & Sylvie on ESPN 1000.